2 Samuel chapter number 11. Going to look here at a very familiar account in the Bible. An account of David and Bathsheba. Here in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And we'll give you the thought here today. The thought here today is giants don't always carry swords. Giants don't always carry swords. So we'll look here in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, starting here in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But, verse 9 here, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? And why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink, and to lie with my wife as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also." We're going to look here at the giant that defeated David here. I want you to think about this. Giants don't always carry swords. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us here today. Thank you for bringing us here today, this afternoon, safely, Lord. I do pray now that you meet with us here today. I pray you fill me with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you give me your words and clarity of thought here today. And I do pray, Lord, that you do what only you can do, and that's to speak to hearts here today. And Lord, don't let us leave here the same way that we came in. Change us, Lord. Draw us closer to you. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if there's any man in Scripture that we often admire, I would think it would be David. David, he is the shepherd boy that slew a lion and a bear. David, he is that young man who stood toe-to-toe with Goliath when everybody else was afraid. Nobody else would stand but David. David, you know, is the psalmist who penned, "The Lord is my shepherd." David, the man after God's own heart. Now, when we think of David, we usually think of one or two things in the life of David. We either think of David, the young David who slew Goliath, or we remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba here in our text here today. And both of these events are life-changing events in the life of David. But up until this time, it's interesting to know that David had never lost a battle. Up until this time in the Scripture, every time David went to battle, he was victorious. Every time he stepped on the fields of combat, he stepped off a victorious man. But on this day, this same David who killed giants on the battlefield fell to a giant that didn't even carry a sword. The defeat of a mighty man of God, the defeat of a man after God's own heart, how did that happen? How could that happen? You see, the giant that slew David wasn't 10 feet tall. He didn't carry a sword. He came silently. He came unexpectedly, and before David knew it, he was already defeated. His kingdom, his testimony, his family would never be the same again. David's greatest defeat wasn't from without. David's greatest defeat was from within. His own heart. His own heart. You see, the giant who is going to cause you and I the most damage in life is our own heart. The Bible warns us about that in Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it?" That is the heart. The world says, "Follow your heart." God says, "Your heart is deceitful." The heart lies to us. The heart is wicked. And that's why God tells us in the Scriptures in Proverbs 4:23 to keep thy heart with all diligence. We're to keep our heart. We're to guard our heart. We're to watch what comes in through our eyes and through our ears and watch what comes into our heart. Why? Because He says there in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Get that. Out of this heart are all the issues of life. Salvation is a heart issue. Obedience is a heart issue. Faithfulness is a heart issue. You name it, it boils down to a heart issue. And so the warning is to keep our heart with all diligence. Now, most of us, we do not think of the heart, our heart, as being a giant, right? We fear the giants of life, right? Cancer, sickness, or even death. We fear those, but most of us do not think about the giant of our own heart. And so with that in mind, let me ask you, what giant is lurking in your heart? What giant is lurking in your heart right at this very moment? You know, is it a giant of lust like David? Is it a giant of anger? Is it a giant of pride? Hey, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, that giant, if not taken care of, it will destroy us. If it could happen to David, it could happen to you and I. None of us are above reproach. We're only one decision, one choice away, you know, from that happening, just like David was in our text here today. None of us are exempt because giants don't always carry swords. So let me give you some thoughts here today. Number one, I want you to see the setting. I want you to see the setting that led to David's defeat. The setting. It's in verse 1. So look there in verse number 1. It says here, "And it came to pass, after a year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle." You gotta grasp that right there. It was the time when David should have been off to war. All right? He says, "When a time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Every able-bodied man was off fighting. Everybody was off in the war. They were fighting for their king. They were fighting for David, but David is at home. He's enjoying the comforts of the palace. I mean, hey guys, he's living the dream. Right? He's living the dream. He was doing what he wanted to do. He was living how he wanted to live. He was living for himself. He was not where he was supposed to be.
You see, David neglected his duty.
And so we see here the setting has been laid. He's neglected his duty. David was king. He thought he could do whatever he wanted to do, and nobody was going to tell him different. Nobody was going to tell him otherwise. This is my house, David would say. This is my house. But as king, his duty was to be off in the battle with his men. It was a time when kings go forth to battle, but David stayed home. I don't know. Maybe he had a sore throat. I don't know. Maybe he had a runny nose. I don't know. Maybe he was too tired. Maybe his back hurt. Maybe he thought it wasn't that important to assemble with his army. But I want you to notice something about this. David was at home in his palace. He wasn't in a sinful place. He wasn't at the brothel. He wasn't at the bar. He was at home. He was not in a sinful place, but he was just in the wrong place. He was in the wrong place. Wasn't a sinful place, but he was in the wrong place. All right. If he would have just been in his place, he never would have committed adultery with Bathsheba. He never would have committed murder of Uriah. You see, when you're not where God wants you to be, we're open to the attacks of the devil. We're open to the attacks of the flesh as well. In our Christian life, there's places that we need to be, in times that we need to be, and we need to be faithful to them. I mean, besides, are we just going to miss church and lounge around the house? Just like David, lounging around the house until the evening tide? But I want you to notice something about that as well. You see, Satan loves an idle man. Satan loves an idle man. In Ezekiel chapter 16, in verse 49, the Bible says this about Sodom. It says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness." Sodom is that one that God destroyed through fire and brimstone from heaven. He destroyed Sodom. One of their sins was abundance of idleness. Now, David had too much idle time. He had too much free time to do what he wanted. One of the greatest sins there in Sodom was idleness. An idle Christian becomes an easy target for Satan. He becomes an easy target. Hey, a bad thought here. Hey, a discouragement here. Hey, a root of bitterness here. And before you know it, the devil's got you. He's got you living the defeated Christian life. It's been said that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. There's a lot of things he can do with an idle mind. I'm sure you've heard that. The things the devil can do with an idle mind. But David here, he was idle. He was in bed when he should have been off in the battle. Hey, fathers, a warning for us here today. In the world we live in, too many fathers today are idle. Too many are distracted. Too many are disengaged from not only church, but from their family. From their family. It's interesting this. When we read the accounts of David, this wasn't the first time David was disobedient. All right, if we flip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 17, flip over to Deuteronomy 7, chapter 17, and look here in verses 14. Start here in verse number 14, Deuteronomy 17. There were some things that kings weren't supposed to do. And David didn't take heed to that. But in Deuteronomy 17, verse number 14, I'll start here. It says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." So he's setting some rules up for the kings, and here's what I want you to get here in verses 16 and 17. He says, "But he shall not multiply horses to himself." Number one thing and not to do as a king, multiply horses to himself. Look in verse 17. He says, "Neither shall he multiply wives to himself." Number two. And then he says, he goes on here, that his heart turn not away. And the third thing, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver
and gold. Hey, David, you're king now. You're not to multiply horses to yourself. You're not to multiply wives to yourself. You're not to multiply silver and gold. David, you did all three. You're not obeying the word of God. There's going to be consequences that come into your life. In 2 Samuel 5:13, the Bible says, David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. Hey guys, if God's people would just obey the word of God, if we could just obey the word of God, God said it, that should just settle it right there. But people say, well, I just don't see what's wrong with it. Well, I just don't quite see it that way. Well, hey, listen, if God says it, God's word is true from the beginning to the end. If God's word is true, God said it, that should just settle it right then and there. But when you start disagreeing with God and you start doing things based on your thoughts, you have set the setting for your defeat. You have set the setting for your defeat. So I ask you again, what are you battling with today? What are you battling with today? Is it a pride thing? Is it a laziness thing? Is it a bitterness thing? Is there a root that keeps growing? Hey, is it a selfishness thing, a greed thing? Whatever it is, God says we just need to name it and seek forgiveness. Seek Him to forgive us. David had many wives and many concubines, but it doesn't prevent him from committing adultery. In James chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, the moment you take a break from the battle, the devil comes in. The enemy moves in. That very moment you let him in, he's going to come in and he's going to attack. David was idle. He was in bed. He should have been in the war. He should have been in the battle. But he was at home taking a break, and an idle mind just let everything in. We read the accounts of David, and we know that David, like I mentioned earlier, David was a very successful man up until this point. He was victorious. He was successful. And you know what the thing of it is you're never more vulnerable for an attack of the devil than right after success. Sunday comes. We have a great day. We have a great day on the bus. We have a great day in the church. And we have a great day. And you know what happens? Monday morning. Monday comes and the devil's attacking. The devil is attacking. It's going to happen. It happens all the time. Let me tell you, it happens. But you know what else? His success that he had, it led to him being very prideful. Led to him being very prideful. He was above reproach, he thought. And he thought he could do what he wanted to do in his kingdom and in his palace. But here's the thing with that as well. When we go through things, when we go through trials, we go through storms, a sickness, whatever it might be, when we go through those things, you know what happens? Every single time we rely on God. We draw closer to God. We get more into Word. We get more into praying. We get more serious when things are inflicting us. But whenever, like David, he's living the high life here, things are going good, and we don't necessarily read our Bible as much. That starts to slip. We don't pray as much as we used to. Right? All those things start to slip. Pride comes in. And you know what happens with pride? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So there's many settings here that take place for the defeat of David here. First of all, looked at just a few of those. But moving on here, secondly, I want you to see here the subtle look that led to adultery here in verses 2 through 4. So if you can get back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look here in verses 2 through 4. So then it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house.
You see here, morning came and went. The afternoon was far spent, and now we are in the evening time, and David decides to get up out of bed. He's lazy here, right? Remember, he's idle here. David comes out of bed, and he looks over the rooftop there, and he sees a woman baby. And the Bible says she's a very beautiful woman. David looks at her, he saw her, he wanted her, and he took her. And that's exactly how sin works. There in James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Every single time. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. And it makes me think of Achan. If you turn over to Joshua chapter number 7 here for a moment here. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 7. It reminds me of Achan. Achan, the same thing here. You know, you had the battle of Jericho. There was a great defeat of Jericho. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God gave them a great victory over Jericho that day. But God told Israel not to take anything. Don't take any of the gold or the silver or anything. None of that is to be taken. Everything belonged to God. But you know what? Achan disobeyed. Here in Joshua chapter 7, in verse 21, I want you to see here, look there in Joshua 7:21. Achan says here, when I saw, you get that? When I saw, you see, he looked. He saw. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight. Now get this, he saw it, but then right here next he says, then I coveted them. I saw them and I wanted them. I wanted them. And then he says here, and took them. So he saw it, he coveted, he wanted it, and he took it. Makes me think like he knew what God said. He said, don't take it. But he saw it out of the corner of his eyes, and I can't help but think that he saw it and he did a double take, right? You know, you ever do a double take? It was that double take that got him, and he just that looks good. And he was lured in. He was attracted to it, just like David was attracted to this beautiful woman here, right? But Achan, you know what happened? His sin brought death. Look there in verse 25. In verse 25, it tells us here that it says there, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. The them is their family. It wasn't just Achan that died that day. It was his whole family. They stoned him. They burned him. Why? Because Achan saw something he wanted. He wasn't supposed to have it. And he took it. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. A subtle look is all it takes. That's the warning for us. A subtle look leads to destruction. The same thing happened in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Remember, God said, don't eat off of the fruit of the one tree. That command was given to Adam. Adam told his wife, hey, don't even touch it. Right? If you don't touch it, you're not even going to eat it. So don't even touch it. But this day, she's off on her own, away from her husband, just kind of looking at that tree. Man, that's a nice looking tree. Look at the fruit. She's just glamorizing it. She's enjoying it. She's wanting it. And she's hanging around there until she got tempted enough to go ahead and eat it. But it just took a look. It starts with a look. Sin starts with a look. The devil doesn't need to kick in our front door these days. All he's got to do is crack it just a little bit and give you a little peek. Give you a little peek. Give you a little look. And you know what is the most devastating thing in the world today for that? These cell phones. These cell phones are the most devastating tool the devil used. And I could only imagine, maybe one day they'll come out with numbers on how many of our youth have been destroyed because of the cell phones. You know, you hear about stories all the time, people getting hung up on things on the cell phone with pornography and such as that matter in there. And it's just a bad thing. And the devil is behind all of that. Job said in Job 31:1, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes.
If we just start right there,
we all, Lord help us, we all need to make a covenant with my eyes.
Watch what we take in, because what Eve saw, she desired. What Achan saw, he took, and what David saw, he pursued after.
The devil hasn't changed. The nature of sin hasn't changed. A thought develops in our mind. It's a desire that we want, and our flesh will do whatever it can to get us to fulfill that desire. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. But God says in Philippians 4:8, He says there are some good things you need to think on. Don't dwell on all those things. Think on these things. In Philippians 4:8, He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you say, preacher, where am I going to find those kinds of things? Am I going to find them on the Facebook? Am I going to find them on Snapchat or Twitter or on the internet anywhere? No, you're going to find it right here. And thank God, praise the Lord, He's preserved it all right here. All you got to do is open it and start reading it. And then you can think on these things, just like the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, we got to guard our minds. We got to pay attention because that giant wants to ensnare our minds. Hey, God said it. Just trust God. He knows better than we know. Just control our mind. The Bible says, Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, the battle in today's world is for the mind. Who controls your mind? It took a subtle look for many people to be destroyed, for sin to enter the world. A subtle look in our life can destroy us. You see, David knew better. David was a man of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He is a mighty warrior. But that moment, he sins with Bathsheba and commits adultery. And then he ends up having Uriah put to death. He not only dishonors himself and her and him, but he dishonors God. David is without excuse. You see, David is without excuse. And if we allow our minds to go down that road and get into sin, and we are without excuse. We know better. We have the complete Word of God right here, completed for us here today. But all it takes, and I'm telling you, is that subtle look. Subtle look. Being in a place you're not supposed to be, having too much idle time on your hands.
Hey, don't give in to that subtle look. Number three, I want you to see here the secret cover-up that left Uriah dead. The secret cover-up that left Uriah dead. Look here in verse 6. 2 Samuel 11, verses 6 through 9. It says here, and David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. Right, he's trying to butter him up here. He's trying to give him that good old boy talk, right? And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet.
Hey, it's been a long journey now. You just need to go on home. Just go on home and have a good time.
Right? And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. Amen for Uriah, right?
The problem David experienced with this giant is that same is the same one that we face when we deal with our giant. We feed it. We feed it. We give it another look. We give it another look. We start pondering on it. We start thinking about it. David fed his giant the same way we do, and the giant just wanted more and more. You see, a lie is not just a lie. It's not like just a little white lie. One lie isn't just a lie. One lie becomes two, which becomes four, which becomes six, which becomes eight. But the Bible still says lying lips are abomination. You see, you're constantly lying to lie to lie. You don't know what truth is.
anymore. And David's doing that same thing. He's using every tactic that he can to hide his sin with Bathsheba, even bringing Uriah home and giving him food and drink and trying and getting him drunk, hoping that he'll just go home. He'll just go home. Look there in verse 11. It says, "And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife as thou livest? And as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." See, David didn't count on Uriah being so faithful. He didn't count on him being so committed. He didn't count on him being a man that stood in the gap. A man that was willing to stand at all costs. And so David's secret cover-up was not working. So now he just comes up with a plan to take Uriah out completely. His plan was to be for Uriah to be killed on the battlefield. And he even signed the letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to take that to Joab. Here in verse 15, he says, "And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." You see, when that giant comes at us and it attacks us, that giant, whatever that giant is, whatever that sin is, and it gets those roots in you and it gets that grip in you, you're going to do everything you can to cover up your sin and to keep it hidden. David's a perfect example of that. He was willing, and he did, commit murder to cover up his sin. But God's way is never that way. God's way is always openness. In Proverbs 28:13, he says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You see, that's how sin works. It gets deeper, it gets deeper. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than you want to pay. Don't be deceived by the giant that dwells within your heart. That giant that doesn't even carry a sword, but it dwells within your heart. And it will settle for nothing but destruction to destroy you. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of a sinner is hard. If you look here in verse 17, we see here Uriah dies here. In verse 17 it says, "Then the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also." David couldn't cover it up. He couldn't cover it up, so he thought, this would be a great plan. I'll just send him back to the battle. He'll die in battle. I'll be doing a great and worthy and noble thing of taking this female, this lady whose husband has died in battle, and I'll take her in and I will marry her, and everybody will think that this baby is his, and I'll just be a noble thing, and everybody will pat me on the back and say, good job. I mean, think about it. David thought everything should be good now. Right? Everything should be fine. Uriah is dead. Everything should be good now, right? My sin is covered up. I should be good, right? Nobody else knows about the sin in my life. Nobody else knows. I should be good. Right? Wrong. God knows. God sees everything. You can't hide from it. God knows. God's seen everything that happened, and I want you to see this. And fourth thing I want you to see here, lastly, is the shattered testimony of the king. I want you to see the shattered testimony of the king in verse 27. At the end of the chapter there, it says, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife, and bare him a son." But get this right here. Notice this. "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Get that? David, the man after God's own heart. David, a man who walked with God and had a relationship with God. It tells us the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Hey, God saw everything. God saw everything. David could not hide.
is sin from God. And Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees it all. God sees it all. What is it you're trying to hide today? What is that thing you don't want anybody to know? What is that sin that is keeping you from having a complete walk with God? What is that sin? If you don't get hold of it, if you don't defeat that giant, it's going to sear your conscience. It's like that root of bitterness that keeps on going and going. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, the first time you sin, it just makes it that much more easier to sin. The first time you lie, whatever it is, it makes that next time of doing it even more easier to do it. Hey, that first time you miss your Bible reading for the day, it makes it more easier. The first time you miss your prayer time, it makes it that much more easier. Hey, Satan, they get this. Satan never tells you about the worm in the apple, does he? He doesn't warn you about, hey, there's a worm in that apple. He never tells you that the drunk, he never tells the drunk that alcohol will destroy your life. That alcohol will ruin your family. He never tells the fornicator or the adulterer that the sexual activity may lead to pregnancy, to disease, or even to death. He doesn't tell the drug user that habit will control them forever and ever and lead to death. He never tells the truth about sin, does he? No, he glamorizes, hey, this is what you need to do. You shall not surely die. But what has God said? The wages of sin is death. Every single time, sin brings death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But you can't cover your tracks. Are you trying to cover your tracks? Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Numbers 32:23, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know what they say about a testimony? It takes a lifetime to build a testimony, but only a second to ruin it forever. That's a testimony. Is there something in your life today nobody else sees, but God sees, and it displeases Him? We need to look within today. Look within. What is that giant in my heart here today? Because we know that this child born in that sin died. We know that the sons that followed to be born of David, they followed in his footsteps. Amnon raped Tamar. Absalom murdered Amnon. He rebelled against his father, David. And we know that the sword never left David's house. The sword never left David's house. The Bible warns us against that as well in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, what is there to do? David, if we were to turn, we don't have time today, but if we were to turn to Psalm 51, we would see that David gets repentance. David gets forgiveness. There is hope for all of us. Just like David, there is hope for us here today. Yeah, we may have a giant of sin, but we can slay that giant here today. The Bible says in Psalm 51:3, says he talks about having mercy upon me, O God. In verse 3, he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Hey, I want to walk with you again, Lord. Our walk has been hindered. Our walk hasn't been sweet. Hey, the sin that I have in my life, it's hindered me from my prayer life being answered. It's hindered me from having a walk with the Lord. Hey, if I just come and bow before Him and confess my sin, He promises us He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But just like David, we let the successes of our life in, and we let the pride in our life in, and that makes us harder and harder, and it makes the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart harder and harder and softer until it disappears. years and we're left with just full on rebellion and full on pride, and God cannot work in there, and God only has one thing to do, and that is to send the judgment to come. To send the judgment to come.
You see, you can slay 1,000 giants. You can be a giant slayer, but if you don't kill the giant inside, it will slay you. It will slay you. The giant that slew David
didn't have a sword. He didn't have a sword. He didn't wear armor. He didn't come to him in the valley, in the battlefield. David just let his guard down. He was in a place he shouldn't have been. He stayed home when he should have been off the battle, and he looked when he should have turned away, and he touched when he shouldn't have never been even in that situation. And it cost him greatly. But thank God there's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses. He still gives salvation. Jesus paid it all on the cross. He died on that cross. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And the Bible says, you come to Jesus Christ today, He'll save you today. He'll give you eternal life today. But maybe you're here today and you say, I know, preacher, I'm going to heaven. There's some struggles in my life here today. There's some giants that I need to take care of so I can have that sweet walk again. Hey, in just a moment we'll have our invitation. You just come. You just talk to the Lord. Give it to Him. Have that sweet walk again. Leave out of here today with the joy of salvation. Just like David said in Psalm 51. Why? Because giants don't always carry swords. Let's close in.